Hey, you want that to go?
Yeah, we got your news takeouts this morning, and we're going to go to Washington first. Jay Newton Small is the congressional correspondent for Time Magazine. Good morning, Jay.
Morning, Celeste.
President Obama went down to Capitol Hill. He spoke to his members of his party yesterday for 40 minutes. Here's Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid talking about the task at hand.
We're working toward a consensus. We're not there, but we understand how important it is we arrive at a consensus, and we're going to do that just as quickly as we can.
Okay, Jay, the issues they have left are those which may not lead to a consensus. They still have to talk about abortion and the public option. Are we going to get a unified front from the Democrats?
Well, it's looking increasingly like no, not at all. In fact, today's vote on abortion, which is expected this afternoon about 3:15 in the Senate, will probably lose them. Nebraska Senator Ben Nelson, it's his amendment. He is a pro-life Democrat who said that he will not support the bill if it does not pass, and it's looking unlikely to pass.
Okay, there's hundreds of amendments still pending. Are any of the others going to be as contentious as these two?
There are some that are fairly contentious, but no, these are really the two giant big sticking points that are left.
Okay, so here's Harry Reid in the Capitol. He's talking after President Obama met with Democrats yesterday.
There are still a few things we have to work out in the bill, but the issues are being narrowed as we speak.
He's talking about trying to get issues on the health care bill narrowed down, and he talks like it's no big deal, but it's probably a very big deal.
Well, it is a big deal, and certainly when they're trying to get as much support as they can. But frankly, they're going to corral their Democrats. They're going to sit on top of the ones that are leaners, and anyone else who's offering amendments, they're just going to say, sorry, the tree is full, there's no more space for you, and too bad.
Okay, Jay Newton Small, we're obviously going to keep our eye on the health care debate in the Senate all week long. Jay Newton Small is the Washington correspondent for Time Magazine. Thanks.
All right, it's time for our sports takeout with the Takeaway Sports Contributor. Of course, that's Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen. It's college football on tap, Ibrahim. There was some drama now on Saturday between the Longhorns, Texas Longhorns and Nebraska Cornhuskers. This, as far as I know, is like the biggest rivalry in college football.
It's pretty big. It's pretty big. But I wouldn't say it's the biggest one, but let's get that.
Third down and 13. Roll pocket right. Throw it out of bounds and stop the clock. Wait a minute. Did the game end? Nebraska thinks it's over. Mac thinks there's a second left. I thought there was a second left.
Woo! All right, now that sounds like it qualifies as drama in college football, biggest rivalry or not. What are they talking about there?
Well, basically, you had Nebraska was in position to do the unthinkable, and everyone around the country, from the Boise State fans, the Cincinnati fans, the rest of the – they probably had more people around the country rooting for Nebraska than any other time in the school's history, because if they had beaten Texas, then a bunch of the other teams would have been contention for the national championship. The way the BCS is run, it's based on computer-generated rankings, right, and their people's schedules. So Nebraska, that was a very strange play and made some of the Nebraska fans and myself feel like perhaps there was something larger at play. Perhaps people just wanted to see Alabama versus Texas in the national championship game instead of seeing Nebraska topple Texas and have something else derive out of that. And so that basically led to a 1 second left on the clock and a miraculous field goal, which Texas ended up winning. But that basically, in college football, you have two levels. You have the bowl four levels. You have the bowl championship series, and then you have the football championship series, which is also like what used to be called 1AA. So most of these teams, Texas, Boise State, Cincinnati, they're all playing for a bowl game and a chance to be in line for the national title. So now that's what you have coming up this year. You have Alabama versus Texas. Colt McCoy, who's the star quarterback for Texas, against Mark Ingram, who's the running back. They're both Heisman Trophy candidates. That's going to be a huge game. But you also have a huge win with Cincinnati beating Pittsburgh this weekend, 45-44. That puts Cincinnati in a position to be playing Florida now in the consolation game, in a sense, the Sugar Bowl, which is a massive game, in a sense, to see if Florida can bounce back from losing.
Ibrahim, I have covered the Senate for many years, and I thought that was the most arcane thing that you can cover. But apparently the college bowl system is even more arcane and a little bit more difficult.
There's a lot of arguments about it.
Yeah. It is difficult. And then just real quick, this weekend it's going to be Appalachian State versus Montana and William & Mary versus Villanova in the second round. So if you want to see a playoff in college football, which President Barack Obama said in his election run, he wanted to see a playoff in college football.
He did.
Then you have one in the 1AA level with the football championship series, and that's coming up this weekend
as
well.
He came out and he said he wanted an end to this system and might make the next college football takeout a little simpler, but
easier
possibly
to
more
pass
exciting.
Than healthcare.
All right, Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, thanks for talking to us about college football.
Our last takeout comes from you, our listeners. Last week, the economy got some good signs with better-than-expected unemployment numbers, but that's what economists were watching. What are you seeing in your neck of the woods? Larry in Detroit emails us at mytakeatthetakeaway.org. My shop is located along a major east-west rail line. I've noticed a real upswing in rail traffic recently, with many of the trains pulling fully loaded rail cars full of new cars. It's unscientific evidence that things are picking up, I know, but nonetheless, one that I think shows some hope.
All right, so that's some good news for Larry in Detroit. But as we've learned on this show, unemployment lags behind other signs of the recovery. We know that there are millions of you still out of work, so no matter what the numbers say, how is the social safety net out there catching you?
This is Amy in Oklahoma City. I was laid off at the beginning of this year, and I was an independent contractor, and I couldn't get any unemployment. And so I had to use my tax money that I had saved up to live on because I couldn't get unemployment. So now I don't have any more tax money to live on, and I owe the government federal taxes.
My name is Paul. I live in Bronx, New York. I think the problem is people do not save enough money when they are working. Unemployment is, in my opinion, a form of a scam. It's social engineering. The government needs to stop this. People should not be thinking of unemployment as any kind of thing to depend on. They should be thinking on their own earnings and their own savings.
We want to keep hearing your views on employment and jobs and the social safety net. 8778-MY-TAKE, mytake@thetakeaway.org.
We did get one personal take from someone. President Obama was in Allentown, Pennsylvania last week talking about job creation, and Peggy in New Jersey called with her take on Allentown.
Which is my hometown. And I think it really symbolizes what's happened to the American dream in this country. When I grew up, it was a terrific city, and now it's plagued by crime and dissolution of the business community as industries have left. And I think this is where President Obama needs to be.
What about you and your city and the American dream? Let us know at 8778-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. Coming up, we go behind closed doors with President Obama.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.